Hello and welcome to The President's Perspective. It's a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. On today's program, Dr. Jones shares some insight into the future of higher education in Texas through his participation in a recent conference conducted by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. We'll also highlight a few recent university headlines, sort of a series of quick hits to get us started. But first, Dr. Jones, we're hoping everyone had a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, I certainly hope so, Jared. And of course, we are off and running now. We are into the home stretch between now and the end of the semester and commencement and Christmas. So it's going to be a blur, but this is such a great time of year. We're also coming up on the first anniversary of the devastating ice storm that we had in early December last year.
That's so, right. We did rebuild.
Yes, we did rebuild, and we hope we're not going to celebrate that with a return event.
But, right.
It's a happy time right now and a very busy time on campus. I do want to take just a couple of minutes here, though, to highlight a couple of things that, in one case, a couple of our faculty members have been involved in, and some very exciting projects and some very noteworthy projects.
Sure.
We often think of Texas A&M Commerce as a teaching institution, and of course we are. We take great pride in our teaching and have for 125 years, but we also have some real superstars in the faculty ranks who are doing some really interesting research. And one of them is Dr. Maria Fernandez-Lamarck, who is doing a research for an upcoming book to carry forward with the projects he's been working on for a number of years, and it has to do with the various ways that the Cinderella story is told in Spain, as well as in other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And she recently received a grant from the Hispanics program under the Ministry of Culture, Education, and Sports of Spain, which will help her continue with her research on that very interesting topic in Spain. So it's something that, you know, you don't. We all heard Cinderella when we were growing up.
Right, yeah,
know,
sure.
It's a great fairy tale and has, you know, obviously broad cultural appeal, but to think that it's not told the same way in not only every culture, but even in various parts of Spain.
Well, if you think about how we use the phrase a Cinderella story, like even in sports culture and other
right.
culture, if the telling of the story changes, then the meaning of that phrase changes.
Exactly.
And then, you know, somebody might hear, you know, a Cinderella story, you know, on the sports network and not
right.
have any idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, being known as the Cinderella team may have more than one meaning.
That's right, yeah. Important work.
Yeah. And another faculty member, Mario Hayek, who is an assistant professor of management over in our College of Business, is involved in a very interesting activity. And this one is actually the first one of these, took place on November 22nd, the Lions Innovation Showcase. And that was an event where our faculty, staff, and students had the opportunity to promote their skill and creativity in various kinds of endeavors. It was held in Ferguson Auditorium. We invited the broader community to come and let them engage with these very, very bright students who were coming up with incredibly creative ideas, projects, you know, business ideas, all kinds of things. So a $1,500 cash prize went to the top Lion Innovator, and we hope that's something that's going to be coming back every year on an annual basis. And then finally, by way of recent headlines, I think everyone knows this, but I'm going to keep announcing it because it's important stuff. We had two Lone Star Conference championship teams this year. Our football program won its first Lone Star Conference championship since 1990, and our women's soccer team won its first conference championship. The Lions also earned our 11th postseason bowl bid in program history, and we will be playing at the Champs Heart of Texas Bowl on December 6th in Copperas Cove, 6 p.m., against East Central University, that's in Oklahoma. And this is our second bowl bid in a row, second successive bowl bid. We had played last year the Live United Texarkana Bowl in 2013, and this is the first time since 1990 and 91 that we have had consecutive postseason appearances. And get this, it is the first time since 1957 and 58 that we had successive bowl game
right.
appearances. That was the two Tangerine Bowls that we played in.
We've got all the stats.
Yeah, right here in front of us. You know, sports lives and dies on stats. So good stuff going on in our athletic
right.
program.
Congratulations to the Lions. And, of course, you can catch that game right here on KETR on December December 6th.
Yes, December 6th, Copper's Cove, Texas.
That's right. So you're listening to The President's Perspective here on your station, 88.9 KETR. We're talking with Dr. Dan Jones. And so you recently went to this conference put on by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board.
Yes.
And they're getting a lot of management in higher education together to talk about how to chart the course over the next few years and into the future.
Right.
With regard to higher education, particularly in the state of Texas. And there were a lot of interesting facts that you shared with me already, and I'm hoping that you'll delve into some of them, including these, what I'm kind of dubbing the 2030 facts, or the 2030 statistics,
right?
What the board suspects will be the case in 2030.
A lot of interesting things going on in Texas right now, and of course, leading the headlines is, you know, the very healthy, robust nature of the Texas economy, and how, you know, the Texas is leading really the nation in terms of economic recovery,
mm-hmm.
and more jobs were created in Texas than, of course, in any other single state. And if you took the new Texas jobs out of the equation, the national employment rate would actually drop.
Mm-hmm.
So we you know, a lot of great things going on in Texas and in the Texas economy. However, there's a lot of things going on kind of below the radar that represent real threats to Texas's continuing prosperity. And I think that there is a broad recognition among both business leadership, political leadership, civic leadership, and university leadership that higher education has a very important role to play in helping ensure that Texas stays on the right track. So that's what this conference was all about. The timing was not random. Texas in 2015 will close out its 15-year Closing the Gaps project. Closing the Gaps was a plan that was put in place in the year 2000, and it had four very specific goals: participation, success, excellence, and research. And there were specific metrics attached to each of those. And we've done pretty well in reaching those goals. And again, that particular plan ends in 2015. So the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, through a series of work groups, is coming up with a new master plan for Texas higher education that will carry us from the year 2015 to the year 2030. And I think one of the things that, one of the conclusions that those folks have drawn is that we probably set our sights too low in 2000 when we set the Closing the Gap goals, because Texas has changed a lot, and the nation has changed, and even more importantly, the world has changed in that time. And even though we are awarding more degrees than ever before, we are lagging here in Texas. We are lagging the nation, and the United States is lagging the world in the educational attainment goal. So there's four goals. We'll talk briefly about each one of them, but they're going to have a direct and tangible impact on the way universities do business, the way A&M Commerce, or whatever will be called then. I suspect it'll still be
likely
A&M
Commerce.
Will be functioning and doing business in 2030.
Right.
Is very different than what we look like today. And it will be because we will have re-engineered ourselves to have a more profound impact in helping the state meet these goals. Okay, the first one has to do with what I already alluded to, educational attainment. The goal is that at least 60% by the year 2030, at least 60% of Texans age 25 to 34 will have a post-secondary credential or degree. Now, what that means is that after they graduate from high school, they'll have an associate's degree, they will have some specialized workforce training that will result in a certificate, or a baccalaureate degree or higher.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Something that a certificate that they would get to help them in employment or whatever it happens to be.
Right. 60% would get us close to what the best nation in the world is doing right now, which is Korea. For context, where are we today? Texas is at 38% today, well off the mark.
Oh, yeah.
And we're below the national average. In the United States, it's about 43%. In Korea, it's 63.8%. So we got a long ways to go in order to meet that goal. But so important that we do, because the people who get good jobs and contribute back, you know, by paying taxes, by consumer spending, discretionary spending, and so forth, are the people who have those post-secondary credentials. It's absolutely vital to the future of the state that we get there.
Now, for context, are these percentages, I mean, this isn't somebody's dreaming up, these are real, and somebody is convinced these are obtainable statistics, right? I mean, is this being held up against the national goals for the same time frame?
Yes. And actually, there, we had some very productive discussion at the conference on just that question. First of all, is this a realistic goal? Secondly, is it high enough? You know, 60% will get us about to what our competitors, to where they're at today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 15 years, we're going to be at where they are today. So I think it's a reasonable question to ask is, should this goal be even more ambitious? And I think that's an open question. You know, we have to not only make progress, but we have to make progress more quickly than other states and other nations are making progress. Otherwise, we'll be falling behind. There's no steady state in this, you know. Just for context, one of the resources that we shared at the conference compared the educational attainment rate in the U.S. with other nations as well as other states.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, Korea leads the world with about 64% of its young people ages 25 to 34 with a college degree or, you know, a post-secondary credential of some kind. The U.S., as I mentioned, is about 43, 44%. Texas, we're on a par. I mentioned, I think I said 38%. It's actually closer to 34%.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a par with Alabama, Wyoming, Oklahoma within the nation. And in the world, we're on a par with Slovenia.
Which everybody is familiar with. Slovenia from...
Yeah, find that on a map,
yeah.
Okay?
But sure, yeah. And so what basically what we're saying is that, that there's progress to be made. Another question is, say this percentage isn't reached by 2030. We can already see that there are nations right now. It's going to be 2015, and
right.
Korea is there. We already know the impact, you know, the what happens when you sandbox a study and see that the economy in Korea is lifted, is better off than where it would be whenever this sort of educational attainment by the populace is attained. That's what they're trying, that's what they're hoping to do here, is to generate something
right.
similar.
We just want to be competitive. Well, we want to do more than that. We want to lead the world, right?
Right.
But we've got a long way to go just to catch up. And as I said, there's no steady state here. We may be gaining on the goal, but if we're not gaining faster than our competitors, then we're falling behind. Now, again, to provide a little more context on why this is so important that we do this, I've got some comparative figures here. In 1973, 28% of all U.S. jobs required post-secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 28%. By the year 2020, not 2030, that's what the plan has taken us out to, but by the year 2020, in other words, 6 years from now, 65% of all new jobs will require this level of education. Okay. Basically, by shooting for 60%, we're already going to be behind.
Mm-hmm.
Where are those other skilled workers going to come from? They're going to come from other states and other nations, quite
right.
frankly. At this point, Texas is importing about 50,000 skilled professionals a year to close this gap.
There's a qualifier in there, the 65% of all new jobs.
Yes.
And I guess in terms of laying out the coursework, if it's your intent to simply... you know, to occupy a job that already exists. If you'd like to do something that's already there, it's not only A, you know, it may be that there's less to do, and B, it's wise to take a look and see how many jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, exist today that didn't exist 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, I tell that story now, and I wouldn't think that I would, but there are so many jobs that exist today that we would not have even dreamed of studying for, even when I was in college here.
Oh, right.
We weren't even thinking about some
exactly.
of the things that are now, they're C-level management positions in companies all over the world doing jobs that nobody was even thinking about then.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, that's one of the ironies of higher education. We're training our students for jobs that don't yet exist.
Right, exactly.
You know, but still, we've got to equip them to be competitive. And one of the most competitive skills of all is the ability to learn, unlearn, and relearn. So again, this is a pressing challenge, and it's one we absolutely positively have to make progress on. The big question is, how are we going to do it?
Right, exactly. Well, there are a few more goals that
yeah.
were listed. I don't know if
there's another goal, which is really it's another version of the first one. By 2030, at least 550,000 students will complete a certificate or an associate bachelor's or master's degree from a Texas public, independent, or for-profit college or university. So this provides a quantitative figure. I expect that number to move, by the way, as this plan is reviewed and revised over the years. Because
upward.
Yeah. That happened with closing the gaps because the population increased more dramatically than we had anticipated. And I think there's no reason to expect that that's not going to continue to be the case over the next 15 years.
Sure.
So that's number two. Number three I find particularly interesting because it's one of those things that it's sort of like a no-brainer. When I read it, you'll see why.
Mm-hmm.
But then the big question is, okay, how are we going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to measure it? So here's the goal. By the year 2030, all graduates from Texas public institutions of higher education will have completed programs with identified marketable skills. You think?
Of course.
Isn't that what we're doing already?
Right, yeah.
You know, isn't that what college is all about? Isn't that why most students go to college to begin with? It's not why I went, by the way.
Right, yeah.
I went because I wanted to be a poet. That didn't work out.
But here we said marketable skills.
So. Right, marketable skills.
Differentiated.
So, again, this seems like one of those duh goals. But the devil in this case, it's not in the detail. It's in the measurement and achievement of that goal. You know, how do you measure? What are marketable skills?
Right, identified marketable skills. There's a point there that's worth arguing. What are the identified marketable skills? What are identifiable marketable skills? And whenever you go back and say for 65% of the new jobs,
right,
what are going to be the marketable skills that those new jobs are going to require? Which
that
is itself,
exist.
Yeah, it's impossible to guess.
They don't exist yet.
Right.
So, you know, I think this is going to give rise to some very lively conversations mm-hmm. over the next few months. And again, I'm going to use myself as
sure.
As an example. My degrees are in English and American Studies, okay?
Right.
And a lot of times when people talk about, you know, dead-end majors, that's what they're talking about.
Sure, sure.
You know, or medieval literature. Or
the humanities that really only surface in collegiate
right.
settings. Right,
right. Yeah. Yeah, things, if universities didn't exist, those disciplines wouldn't exist.
Right, yeah.
Okay. But in fact, when you look at employer surveys and when you ask employers what skill deficits do recent graduates, your new employees, most often demonstrate, the responses that you get back overwhelmingly are poor writing skills, poor communication skills, poor critical thinking and problem-solving skills, and bad teamwork skills. Now, a lot of times those are lumped together as, quote, soft skills. I don't think they ought to be called soft skills. I think these are workplace skills.
Right,
you
right.
know, those are the marketable skills.
Well, and what's happened here is we've identified something that is incredibly imperative to the success of higher education, and it's something that academia has no authority to define.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what's happening is, I mean, we can say, how important is it that somebody understand working in a team environment? Well, to the employer, to the person who's going to determine the success of this particular metric,
yeah,
it's everything.
Right. And that's why I think the message back to higher education is, this is going to sound like heresy,
mm-hmm.
it almost doesn't matter what we're teaching them, the content. What we need to be doing is, while teaching them that content, that material, we put them in teams. We teach them how to do projects together, you know, work together. And I don't know, you know, if you did much of that when you were in college. I did very little of it when I was in college, and what little I did do, I hated.
Right, sure. Well, what happens is you're forced to sort of deal with different personalities. You're dealing with different folks who maybe work at different paces. I mean, part
right.
of the problems that have been identified in public education at the lower levels is that very thing, that students are kind of lumped together, and you've got, you know, folks with a lot of skill sets having to learn alongside, shoulder to shoulder with students who maybe have difficulty learning. And so the standard,
right.
You know, sort of starts to sink a little bit whenever you have that. And so when you get to college, you think, okay, we've gotten beyond that now.
Right.
You know, I can do things at my own pace. And nowadays, I mean, there are entire universities, you know, for-profit institutions that's their tagline. We
right.
learn at your own pace,
yep.
you know, break free from the everything. And we'll do this all.
It's all about you.
Exactly.
But in fact, when you get that first job, it's no longer all about you.
It was never all about you.
It was never all about
yeah.
you. You know, the question is, what can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, me, Mr. Employer. Or Ms. Employer,
right.
as the case may be.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's a challenge back to higher education. But again, we're gonna have to to grapple with this a little bit, because marketable skills may not be more, you know, code slinging, you know, or highly technical fields. Those kinds of skills change so quickly that chances are what you learned in college is not what you're going to be doing. But, you know, employers understand that. They're going to have to teach you that stuff. What they can't slow down and teach you to do is how to write.
Right.
You know, and I think the words of Professor Mayo come to mind. He said, all college instruction is, at the end of the day, teaching of English.
Right. Well, so self-serving a little bit, but
yeah,
sure.
But he was real good at it.
We got about a minute left here, but I think it's important to kind of underscore that what you're doing here is accepting these goals. I wanted to find out kind of from your perspective as we're wrapping up, and I know you have a lot more data, and we probably can go into this anytime.
We've got you know, all spring's worth of shows here.
Right, but is this something? Is it possible?
It is possible if the political will exists to make it happen. And the political will bend to the popular will on this one. What's missing is consensus. What's missing is a sense of urgency. And I think a general sense on the part, not just of, you know, policy leaders, thought leaders and elected officials,
right.
But just a sense on the part of the people as a whole, the electorate, that this is important, that this needs to happen. And yeah, higher education needs to step up its game. But without higher education enlisted in the support of these goals, which are the betterment of society, it's not going to happen. You know, so it's sort of like, can it happen? Well, it better.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because this is one of those cases where failure is not an option. The fourth goal, very quickly, we don't have time to talk about it, has to do with limiting student debt. And that is a fiendishly complex question, which, again, will have to serve as the topic for another day.
I think it'll be worthwhile to look forward to that. In fact, we can probably put a couple of these programs together on these topics and talk about the future of higher education in Texas, at least through the eyes of the coordinating board,
right.
In order to see just exactly what they're expecting of you, of us,
right.
And also the ways that folks can be involved in things like that.
Exactly.
So without the public's involvement, obviously this doesn't happen.
Yes.
The President's Perspective is a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. You can find archives of this and other locally produced programs online at KETR.org. While you're there, make a gift of financial support to this station and join the Loyalty Circle. Just click Support This Station at the top of the page for details. The President's Perspective is recorded at KETR's studio facility in historic Binion Hall on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. Dr. Jones, appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure.
I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.